It's actually 8 grandchildren now, Greg. And, we have this sign in our kitchen that says, grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your own kids. I had 3 kids, actually, that did graduate from Asbury College. But anyway, it's just great to be here today. I know we're a week ahead of you at the seminary. We're in final exam week, and usually about this point of the semester, everyone sort of has a glazed over look, if you know what I mean. We need the Lord to give us a sort of a second wind at about this point, don't we? I want to read today from John chapter 4, a familiar story, the story of Jesus and his encounter with a woman at a well. So hear God's word this morning, beginning at John 4, verse 5. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came there to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, give me a drink." You see, his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. But the Samaritan woman said to him, "Sir, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" You see, in those days, Jews wouldn't have anything to do with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her, "If you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." But the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket. This well here is deep. Where do you propose to get this so-called living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." So the woman said to him, "All right then, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to this well to draw water." But Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, how did you know that? You must be a prophet." Jumping down a little bit, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who's speaking to you." Well, just then, Jesus' disciples came back, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but nobody said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. And verse 39 reads, "Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, 'He told me everything I've ever done.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And then they said to the woman, 'It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves now. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.'" Will you pray with me? So, Lord Jesus, you came to that village and sat down by that well and ministered to that woman and turned her life upside down. We would invite you to come today. Have a conversation with each one of us, just like you did with her. Work in our midst, Lord. And may we leave this place like she left, running back to the city, saying, "Come and let me tell you about a man who told me everything I ever did, and yet he loved me, and he changed me." And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. If you only knew, if you only knew, woman, if you only knew who it is you were talking to, then you wouldn't be asking him about why he's asking you to give him a drink of water. No, you'd be the one that was doing the asking. You'd be asking him to give you a drink of that living water that becomes in the person who drinks it a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. If you only knew. Well, she didn't know. Did she? She didn't know who it was that she was talking to that day. Have you ever been in a situation like that, you know, where you just didn't know the stature of the person that you were talking to? And it's interesting in this story the way Jesus sort of leads her along at first kind of gently, then not so gently, so that she does come to know who he is, that he is truly the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and her life is changed. And the life of this little village where this incident took place has changed as well. And we could talk about sort of how Jesus led her along so that she did come to know who he was. But I don't want to do that this morning. Actually, what I'd like to do is back up a little bit and talk to you about some of the things that she actually did know. And some of the things that the people in that village where this incident took place, some of the things that they knew and some of the things that Jesus knew. Actually, there was one thing that everybody knew. The people in the village knew it. The woman knew it. Jesus knew it. They all knew that this woman was no good. Listen, there was no doubt in anybody's mind as to the kind of woman this woman was. And Jesus, in the middle of his conversation with her, he lets her know that he knows what everybody else in the village already knew, even though he'd never met her before. You're right in saying you've had no husband. Actually, you've had five different husbands, and the guy you're sleeping around with now is not your husband. Hey, can you imagine the kind of reputation that woman must have had in that village? Can you imagine the sort of names that she got called? Prostitute, slut, hoe. And I suspect maybe those were some of the nicer ones, actually. And can you imagine the other women in that village, the way they must have feared her and hated her? Watch out for her. She'll get your husband just like she's gotten all the other ones. It's interesting that we're given a little detail in this story. We're told the time of day this conversation took place. It says it was about noon. Now, folks, why in the world would anybody go to a well to draw water at noon during the heat of the day? No, everybody knows you get up early in the morning in the cool of the day, and you go and you do your work at the well then. And you also go then because that's when all the other people of the village are there. And that way, at least while you're working, you know, you can catch up on the latest news, hear the latest gossip, socialize a little bit. Not if you're this woman. You don't. Listen, if she had showed up when everybody else was there, they wouldn't have just shunned her. They would have run her off. She had to make sure that she was at the well when nobody else would be there. She would rather endure the scorching heat of the noonday sun than the scornful stares of the people in that village. This woman was no good. Hey, the lady was a tramp. Everybody knew it. And Jesus knew what everybody else knew. And yet, how does Jesus relate to this woman? Does he shun her? Does he point his finger at her? Does he condemn her? Does he stick his nose up at her? No. Isn't this amazing? Jesus, he's the one that initiates this conversation. And he reaches out to this woman with love and compassion. He treats her with dignity and respect. He values her opinion. He listens to her. Now, I don't suspect there are too many of us in this room today that have lived the kind of crazy, mixed up, messed up, sordid life that this woman obviously would have lived. But I wonder this morning, as you've come to this chapel, how do you think Jesus Christ responds to the badness in you? Now, most of us don't have a hard time bringing him our goodness, do we? But how do you think he responds to the badness in you? Oh, he's here this morning, isn't he? He's here just like he was at that well that day, and he's reaching out to each one of us here in this room. Not just to the goodness in you, but yes, to the good, the bad, and the ugly too. He wants you to bring all of yourself to him. There may be someone here that has just really messed up some things recently. You've come here this morning with a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. You feel like a real jerk, a real failure. He's here, isn't he? And he's reaching out to us like he reached out to her. But now, there's one thing about this woman that not everybody knew. Actually, Jesus knew this, and she knew this, although she didn't know that he knew, and he knew that she didn't know that he knew. They both knew that she didn't like being the kind of person she was. Oh, deep in this woman's heart, there was an inner longing. There was a heart cry. I wish my life could be different. I wish I wasn't stuck in this place. I wish I could be made new. Now, you know, if you'd run into her at the local Walmart, you probably would have never known it. She would have had a crusty exterior just to survive. She's the kind of person we would have said, hey, man, she's a tough cookie. You don't want to mess with her. But you can't always tell a book by its cover, can you? I'm thinking of that tough-looking, tough-acting high school kid. You know, he drives around town in that souped-up car, and he's got that car stereo blaring so loud that the whole neighborhood starts vibrating when he gets about three blocks away. The way he dresses, the way he just kind of glares at you, you know, everything about him says, hey man, I'm bad, you don't want to mess with me. And yet, one day after school's let out, he's talking to one of his high school teachers who's taken some time to try to get to know him and to connect with him. And he says, you know, it's all just a big front. Man, I'm so scared. I feel so lonely right now. My parents, they don't care about me. You don't know how close I came last Friday night after the football game, just driving off the road and ending it all. But I couldn't let people know that that's how I feel. And so I put on this front. And then I'm thinking of that church lady. I was her pastor years ago. What a piece of work that lady was. I tell you what, when the folks in the congregation saw her coming, they generally ducked and headed in the other direction. Everything she seemed to touch in that church turned to conflict. But I sat with her in her kitchen one afternoon, and she cried like a little baby. Oh, Steve, she said, I don't know what it is, but I get in certain situations and I feel threatened and something inside me snaps, you know, and then before I know it, I've just lashed out and I've said things that I don't mean to say. Why do I do it? She looked across that table at me, tears coming down her cheeks. Steve, she said, you really think there's any hope for an old lady like me? Can't always tell a book by its cover. Jesus knew something about this woman that not everybody knew. He knew she longed to be made new. You know, he knows about us too, doesn't he? He hears your night cries. I wonder, do you want to be made new, changed in some area of your life, some place of failure, some place of brokenness? Jesus is here, isn't he? He's reaching out to us. But now there was one thing about this woman that actually only Jesus knew. People in the village, they didn't know this about her. I don't think she knew this about herself either. There was only Jesus knew that she could be changed. People had written her off a long time ago, hadn't they? There's no way that lady will ever change. Not her kind. And you know, I suspect somewhere along the line she wrote herself off too. I'll never be any different. I'm stuck here. Better just make the best of it. But oh, aren't you glad this morning that although they'd written her off, and she had written herself off too, that Jesus Christ, the worthy Lamb that we sang about, the one through whom all the worlds were made, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ, he hadn't written her off. He knew that because of who he was and what he had come to do, she could be made new. I know it's important for us, isn't it? Those of us that claim to be Christ's followers, it's important for us to see other people through the eyes of Jesus. And that we never give up believing in people and their capacity to be changed and to be made new in Christ. Especially when someone has lost the capacity to believe in that for themselves anymore. Dr. Fred Craddock is retired now. For years, he was a well-known, famous professor of preaching at a theological seminary. He tells a story about something that happened early in his adult life. Back in the 1950s, he and his wife were taking a vacation in the Smoky Mountains, and one evening, as a part of that, they were having dinner in this fancy 5-star restaurant in Gatlinburg. And there was this distinguished-looking white-haired gentleman, and he was making his way around to the various tables in the restaurant. And Fred perceived he must be the owner of the restaurant. And he was making small talk with people at the tables. And Fred said when he saw this man coming toward their table, he sighed a little bit inwardly because, you know, he really hadn't taken a vacation to make small talk with strangers. He really had taken a vacation because he wanted to be away from people. But now here the man was, and he was being friendly. Tell me, he said to Fred, where are you from? Well, Fred said, actually, I'm a native of Tennessee. I grew up in this state. Well, what do you do? Where do you live now? Well, we live out in actually in Oklahoma now, and I teach at a seminary out there. Well, what do you teach? The man said, well, I'm a professor of preaching. I try to help future pastors learn how to preach. Well, you know, when that man heard that word preaching, his eyes just sort of lit up. Oh, he said, so you're a preacher, huh? I got a great preacher story to tell you. You know, Fred said his heart really sank when he heard that, because the last thing in the world he needed right then was another preacher story. But, you know, he didn't have the energy to be impolite. He just let the man keep talking. You know, the man said, I'm from this part of Tennessee myself. And in fact, I was born way back in 1870. But, you know, when I was born, he said, I was born illegitimate. Never knew my father. And back in those days, in these parts, he said, people didn't take too kindly to that. And so I got called all kinds of names growing up. I got teased. I got made fun of. And by the time I was in high school, he said, I had just figured out that it was better for me to avoid people whenever I could. That way I wouldn't get hassled so much. But my mother and I, we went to this little Baptist church, you know, and we got a new preacher during those years. And, oh, I loved to hear that man preach. He was such a good preacher. And so, you see, what I would do, he said, is I would show up after the service on Sunday morning had gotten started, and I'd slip in the back door and I'd sit on the back pew, and after the sermon was over, while they were singing the last hymn, I'd slip out, and that way, you know, I was out of there before the benediction had been even pronounced. And so I got to hear him preach, but I didn't have to talk to anybody. But he said, I got there one Sunday, and all the seats in the back were full. The church was especially full, and there were just a few down front. And I thought, well, you know, I'm here, I might as well stay. And so I made my way down to the front, and I sat on the front pew. And then after the sermon was over, I was just too embarrassed to get up and walk out in front of everybody. So I thought, I'll just stay here till the bitter end. And I was making my way out with everybody else, and at the back of the church, the preacher was back there shaking hands. And now it was my turn to shake his hand. And when I shook his hand, he looked at me, and he said, you know, I know you. I mean, your face is familiar, but I'm not sure we've ever met, you know. Tell me, he said, whose son are you? Who's your daddy? You know, when he said that, I turned as red as a beet. There were people all around that knew about me and my family situation. But, you know, he must have known he had said something wrong, because before I could answer him, he said, oh, that's all right. I know whose son you are. He said, you're a son of God. That's who you are. And then he reached out and he put his hand on my shoulder. And with a kind of a twinkle in his eye, he looked at me and said, now, son of God, I want you to go out of here this morning and claim your inheritance. You know, the man said to Fred, that man's touch on my shoulder and those words, they went right into my heart. And I left there that day, bound and determined that I was going to do everything within me to do what that man said. Wow. Now, this was no ordinary preacher story, was it? And Fred said he was kind of embarrassed at the way he'd felt toward the man earlier, and so he thanked him for opening up and sharing that story out of his life with him. And the man got ready to go to another table, and Fred said to him, you know, I think I told you my name, but I don't know if I got your name or not. Oh, the man said, my name's Ben Hooper. And I'm the owner of this restaurant. And he went on to another table. And Fred sat there, though, kind of stunned. And he kept saying to his wife, Ben Hooper. Ben Hooper. I've heard that name somewhere. And then it clicked. He remembered as a kid growing up in Tennessee having to take a course in state history and learning that around the year 1910, the citizens of the state of Tennessee had elected a man named Ben Hooper, an illegitimate, mind you, as their governor. Ben Hooper, a man born illegitimate, yes. But oh, much more importantly, Ben Hooper, a man born and destined to be a son of the living God. Listen, Jesus knew something about this woman that nobody else knew. He knew that she was born and destined to be a daughter of the living God, that eternal life was her rightful inheritance. He knows that about you. Someone here, maybe you've written yourself off. Jesus is here. He can make you new. He can change you. He can set you free. Would you bring him someplace in your heart and life right now where he needs to come? Will you pray with me? Lord, that's our prayer. And we're so thankful. The prophet said that when you came, a bruised reed you would not break, and a dimly burning wick you wouldn't snuff out. Thank you that you can make us new. Lord, we give you those areas in our lives where we need to be changed. Show us, Lord Jesus, what you want us to do. And as we leave this place this morning, may we go out of here and claim our inheritance. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.